Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
I have a comment on the last sentence there in a minute. You're listening to the PM team at the 50-minute mark, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Peters Township. I'm Andrew Filippone. He's Chris Muller. Donnie Football along for the ride, and Donnie will steer you through PM team overtime all the way until pregame for Pitt, North Carolina tonight on the Fan. Is Pitt trying to maybe rise up here and become the one team we can rally around in the area? Most bracketologists still have them as an NCAA tournament team. So
10 line for most of them?
Yeah, so they're still semi.
Come on, get on a run here,
semi-relevant here.
Get on a run.
And they're playing a blue blood program tonight at home. Papiani, I said I wanted this question asked. Tip of the cap to Bob for bringing up the Bears trade call. And Art didn't just swat it down as rumor and innuendo or say I'm not going to comment on it. He acknowledged that it happened. He said it didn't get very far. The one thing I wanted Bob to ask, and he didn't, and that's Bob's prerogative. He's in the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. He's much better at what he does than what I do.
Wrong.
But
I mean,
as just a fan, as someone that wants answers, demands answers, and I know I'm not going to get them all, but the one thing I would have wanted to hear there was, did the conversation get to a point where the Bears told you what they'd offer? And he probably says no. But I'd like to see Art either dance around that and deflect it and maybe give an answer that makes me think that he... Let me say this. Because if I were running a football team, if I owned a football team, I would at least be curious enough, even if I loved my head coach...
What are you going to offer?
Yeah, I just want to at least get...
It's information gathering.
Right. You know how they'd always say about baseball? Some, you know, baseball nerds would come out and say, sometimes players get placed on waivers just so the team can find out if other teams value that player. It would give you a good barometer or gauge of, okay, just what does another team that's quote-unquote desperate to win, how much do they actually value our coach? Who's never had a losing season.
Didn't even get to that point, though, it sounds like. If you read between the lines, right?
The conversation didn't get very far.
That tells me I can't say for sure.
You know what that sounds like? Oh, huh, we're flattered, but no,
Mike's not going anywhere.
The thing I wanted to circle back to was the last 5 seconds of that clip.
In terms of not taking that next, taking us to that next step, and he knows that's what we need to do.
Mike knows that we need to take the next step. To which I say, you sure that you meant to say need and not want? Because if you want somebody to take the next step, it's not really like a or else ultimatum.
I need a drink of water or else I will die of dehydration versus I want a drink of water. It would be nice.
I'm thirsty. Yeah. Want versus need are two very different things to me. If he means, and I don't think he does, but if he means he needs to take the next step, okay, you have 2 more years left on the contract. If you don't do it, you're gone because you needed to do it. But we debated this when Art talked yesterday. I have a hard time, even when I put out the hypothetical, let's say they go 10 years without a playoff win. I still need to know how those regular seasons went before saying definitively that he would just let the contract run out and move on from Mike. And okay, so this is kind of a Pirates point that I'm about to make. Let's say next year they went 9-8.
Yep.
And lost in the first round of the playoffs.
Same as it ever was.
And you know other teams value Mike. For whatever reason, they still think that he can turn their program or turn their team around.
He's stale there. He'd be great here.
If he really is on thin ice, then you owe it to yourself to trade him.
Unless you're Art and you're petrified of the mere thought of being connected to a trade.
Because you'd rather get something for him than just let the contract run out and have a press release that says Mike Tomlin and the Steelers went their separate ways. And then he's gone and yippee, hooray, we get to go get another coach finally.
You trade for him for a couple first-round picks and at least some corners in that situation. Like, if say somebody actually wanted to
even
give
if you
first,
don't get two first-round picks.
If you trade him for, like, a good return, then there would be at least some shrewd analysts who would say, hey, that's pretty good. That's, like, good allocation of resources. Like, you've done a... If you were ready to move on, the guy hasn't, you know, won a playoff game in so long. That's not the word.
Even if you're not ready to move on, even if you're close to ready to move on,
corners of the media would give you credit. The usual suspects would whine and complain.
Well, Mike Greenberg would say the Steelers are going to rue this day and they'll never get over it, and they're going to turn into the New York Jets.
I don't give a rat's ass what Mike Greenberg would say.
Rich Eisen might cry on the air if that happened.
He'd say
it'd be
something,
an advertisement for Kleenex.
He'd say something like the ungrateful fans and media of Pittsburgh pushed Mike away and they forced Art Rooney to do this. What I do think would be funny in that situation, which will never happen, of course, is what if Mike just goes to that new team and sucks? Goes 4-13 the first year, like 7-10 the next year. The best he does is like 9-8 or 10-7 with a wild card
loss. Okay, so if you think that Mike, and I happen to think he probably is, based on what the standard is to get in. If you think that Mike is a Hall of Famer, how many Hall of Fame coaches had a Hall of Fame career in one place and then did pretty well with their next
team? Andy Reid's doing the inverse. Pretty well with his first team, Hall of Fame career at stop
if,
two.
Like before we started the odometer on his time in Kansas City, would you say that Andy Reid was a Hall of Fame coach? I would say no.
He was a guy missing a Super Bowl, at least, from that resume.
Not enough Super Bowl appearances. If he went to a couple more and lost them and had none, he could be like Levy of that generation.
If he had gone to one more and won it, he would have been right there, I think, for me. Two appearances, one win. That's like a Cowher resume with a bunch of championship game appearances.
Yeah.
That's a Cowher resume. It's a
Tomlin
resume.
I'm just saying
resume.
What you said. Like, what if he goes, hypothetically speaking, if he, you know, he could go to the next place and suck. There aren't a lot of examples of guys who were Hall of Famers one place.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Sean Payton a Hall of Famer in New Orleans?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think he's close, but I don't think he would be.
Was Holmgren a Hall of Famer for the Packers work?
He's not a Hall of Famer now, and he's been
period.
Out of the...
Yeah. No, I'm saying like he got to Super Bowls with two different teams. Doesn't happen. That even doesn't happen often. What, Dan Reeves did it.
Obviously, the resume in its totality is still not good enough because he's been out of coaching for
I know.
15 years or 20 years, and he's not in.
So who else is there even? Like, there's not a ton of
candidates. I mean, Lombardi was pacing in that way, in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
But then he got sick and passed away when he went to Washington. I would say
Wasn't Shula good with the Colts? No, Shula was an assistant. I'm sorry.
No, he was the head coach in Baltimore.
Yeah, that's right. He was their head coach, and he was...
Donnie would have to look up how many because Eubank won a lot of those championships with Unitas. Actually, he's a good one. Colts and Jets. I would say Parcells is one. I would say if Parcells never goes to New England...
Shula won an NFL title, with the Colts.
Just one, though, right?
Dude, his resume, though, there, just for the...
How many years was he in Baltimore for?
So he was in Baltimore for seven seasons. Yeah, seven
seasons. Yeah, that's
seasons.
Not enough to get in the Hall of Fame. 7 years in Baltimore and one championship.
How many did John Madden have to get into, 10?
Yeah, but Madden's also a unique case because he got in years later, not just because he had the highest winning percentage as a coach, but it also didn't hurt that he was one of the most dynamic, magnanimous, larger-than-life personalities in the sport, you know?
I mean... Shula did 71, 23, and 4 in 7 years.
Yeah, pretty good.
And won an NFL title. That's pretty damn close.
I would say
to Hall
Parcells was a Hall of Fame coach in New York before he went to New England or the Jets or the Cowboys because he won two Super Bowls there.
No, there aren't. To your point, there are just vanishingly few examples of a guy who was great in two separate places. Honestly, that's why I think Reed has a real chance to go down as the best coach ever because there's...
Wow. How about that?
They're showing no signs of slowing down. Why would he... What does Andy Reid, like, have that's keeping him from not coaching football? What is he, like, 67? Something like that? Mid to late 60s, I think?
Remember, there are all those reports and rumors that he was going to retire after last year's Super Bowl?
I don't think he has any desire. Why would you? The only guy from that team this year that I think will retire almost win or lose is Kelsey.
Because he's got so much going on in life.
He's also older than Mahomes.
You know, I am so sick of that guy. The stunt he pulled on Hamlin in the AFC Championship game, he deserved to get ripped for.
I apologize. I somehow missed this.
Donnie, you know what I'm talking about? On the Mahomes touchdown?
Hamlin.
Yeah. You've done nothing in the game.
Was that the one where Mahomes did the worst spike of all time?
Yeah, and you get up in Hamlin's face. Of all the people to make fun of and mock in a game, you're picking DeMar Hamlin? Be better than that, Travis Kelce.
I'm just kind of tired of him. I think he's an all-time great, but... I don't know. I think actually Reed absolutely has a case to be the greatest coach ever when it's all said and done. I don't know why that even seems like controversial at this point.
Because Bill's got six.
Reed is one win away from having four.
Mm-hmm.
And at age 66 could easily coach for another 5-6 years minimum, at which point it would not be inconceivable given the freaking trajectory they're on that he would win two more. And he would have, and at that point he'd have matched Bill. And then he would have what Bill doesn't, which is a, by and large, extremely successful tenure before he ever got to Kansas City.
So I heard Starkey say today that one of the reasons why he believes Art won't do anything with Mike is because he's petrified by fear that he does not want to fire or remove from his post the guy that his dad hired to be head coach when Mike was in his early 30s.
I would be sticking a middle finger in my father's memory.
Yeah.
Kind of. Like, I would be a middle finger flipping the bird right to my father.
I mean, obviously, R knows his dad way, 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 way better than all of us do. But we know his football moves. We know the cutthroat football decisions that he made in charge of the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
I would think if a coach went 8, 9, 10 years without a playoff win, and Dan Rooney found out that he could trade that coach for first-round picks that could make the team on the field better.
He would do it.
He would at least entertain it.
If not, probably do it. I mean, did he not balk at Bill Cowher wanting a lot more money and just say, I'll find a new coach? I mean,
that's kind of an apocryphal story that some people believe and some people don't. But
either way,
maybe.
He was willing to cut bait with a guy who had won a Super Bowl a year prior.
Do you know what I mean, Donnie? Like... If we play this game of, like, what would happen if Dan Rooney was here? If Mike had gone 8 seasons without winning a playoff game and a team called and might be willing to give up first-round picks, I feel like Dan would at least listen to that much more than Art did. Just knowing the football decisions that he made in his life.
He understands the currency.
That's the big difference. I think he would at least say, hey, well, what do you have to offer us? If I like it enough, maybe we'll make something happen.
And I've heard people say or ask, well, where's Omar in all of this? Omar's below Mike.
Yeah, their GM coach hierarchy is not the way it is in other places. Like Howie Roseman's way above Nick Sirianni in that power structure, for example. I would argue, actually, though, I've talked to people randomly about this team. Even though John Lynch has a lot of cachet, Kyle Shanahan is above John Lynch.
Because he pretty much hired John Lynch.
He has final say there. Like, there are situations where the coach is clearly above the GM, and there are situations where the opposite is the case. You mentioned McDermott. He's above Brandon Bean.
Yep.
He shouldn't be. McDermott probably should be getting fired one of these years.
Wow.
You don't think you could have make a case by real NFL terms that if you keep banging your head off the wall, eventually it's time to try something new?
Yeah. I don't think right now is the best time to make that point, but I...
No, after like the 13 seconds game.
Correct.
Might have been a little early in his tenure, but yes, you could have done it then.
Or running a fake punt with DeMar Hamlin in last year's playoff game against the Chiefs?
We have to remember that we live in like a weird alternate universe where, you know, the idea of firing a coach after getting to an AFC title game and getting beat by the eventual champs the year before that is just, that would never happen in a million years.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4SEASONS.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth of the Stinky Truth Podcast. The NFL playoffs are here, and I'll be breaking down every matchup as we get toward the big game. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I on the Stinky Truth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.